Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, would you please take them and would you join with me in turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians 15 is known as the resurrection chapter. I have chosen this as my text this morning rather than one of the passages which speak about the resurrection of Jesus. Because this is Paul's synopsis and Paul's reasoning for the resurrection and why the resurrection is so important to us even yet today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Excuse me, my breakfast is... It's fine. Don't worry about it. No, I'm okay. Yeah, not a good seat today, huh? No, actually, I'm okay. Just a little bit of an air pocket that had to come up. So, anyways. Let's read Scripture, shall we? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 19, as we look at the resurrection of Jesus this morning. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Much more than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Now let me add just verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen? Amen. We celebrate that resurrection truth this morning. Let me pray, and then we're going to look at this passage of Scriptures for Easter this morning. Father, what a privilege it is to be able to worship you, the God and creator of all the world, the one who formed us and placed us in our mother's womb. The one who created the skies and the heavens and the trees and the mountains and the streams, and the one this morning whom we able are to come before because of Jesus Christ, because of what He's done for us. Father, we are grateful this morning for the opportunity we have of praising and worshiping Your name because of Jesus Christ. And we are grateful this morning that we serve a risen Savior, not a dead God, not one who was, but one who is and is yet to come. And Father, we thank You that the resurrection reminds us of these truths. And we are able to come this morning and celebrate them. So, Father, as I pray every Sunday morning that You would take now this Your servant and my lips, that You would speak through me in these lips Your truth and Your word unto Your people by Your Spirit. And so, Father, what a joy it is now to come and to celebrate the resurrection of Christ in Your presence. We pray Your Spirit to be with us as well. In the name of Jesus, we ask it, and for His glory we pray it. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen. Well, from the time I was a young child, I've always loved Easter sunrise morning. How many of you remember the days when you would get up at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning? You would sometimes go to the cemetery or to church, and you'd have a sunrise service. You remember those days? How many of you are glad that we don't have to do that anymore? All right. And this morning we enjoyed it. We've compromised by going to an 8:30 breakfast. And so you're able to get here and we still enjoy the benefits of the breakfast and the time together. And to me, Easter is always a special time because when I first came here as pastor, the first Sunday I preached, if I remember right, was Palm Sunday. And then, of course, Easter Sunday was the next week. So I came here 20-some years ago, and still celebrate Easter, and what a privilege it is. I remember the first Easter morning when we were here, we were staying at one of the parishioners' houses, and we woke up the morning, look out the window, and there was deer standing outside in their backyard, and we just felt like, well, what it is to be at home. And we've celebrated and enjoyed that since then, in the sense that what a joy it is to be home here and to celebrate. And many of you have come back home. We see family members here, and we're grateful to have so many other family members here this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as I bring my message this morning, I want to do so with an understanding that that which was once accepted 25, 30, or 40 years ago is today almost no longer accepted. As I drove my school bus and my kids home on Thursday afternoon, and was letting them off, I would say to them as they would get off the bus, "Hey, goodbye. Have a nice Easter." Recognizing for me, "Have a nice Easter" means as you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But for many others, that is not the reason why they celebrate Easter. And Easter has taken on an entirely different meaning to many people because the understanding of the resurrection of the Lord is no longer really emphasized. In fact, in many corners of our world today, and especially corners as well in the United States, I'm not naive enough to think that it's not happening here, even in our own neighborhoods. To many people, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is kind of a myth. It's a legend. And for many people, the idea would be, "You mean you really believe that?" And my response would be the response of, "Yeah, you don't?" And what I want to do this morning is simply provide what I would call kind of a classic standard response, a message of Easter morning on reasons why we believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Biblical reasons and other reasons why we can stand up and say, "Yes, I believe." For 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, and chapter 15 is an entire chapter of the resurrection of Jesus. It begins with, "I've passed on to these things as of utmost importance to you, that our Lord Jesus Christ," as we look at it in verse 3, "that Christ died for our sins according to our scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to our scriptures." That begins chapter 15. I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you've received, and on which you now have taken your stand. It's by this gospel that you're saved, if you hold firmly to the word. Otherwise, you believed in vain. And then I want you to turn to the end of chapter 15. Where when we pick it up in verse 55, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We have victory over death. We have victory over the sin in our lives. We have victory that overcomes this world. Therefore, brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So what the Apostle Paul begins with in chapter 15, verse 1 is, let me tell you, I want to remind you of the gospel. And what he ends with is the tremendous statement, you know that your work is not in vain. Stand firm, therefore, in your faith. And the basis of that faith is not just that Christ died on the cross for our sins. That's part of it, and that's a great part of it. But the truth is also that He rose again from the dead, where God validated the death of Christ on the cross by raising Him from the dead. And so this morning, our faith is not simply that Jesus Christ died, but that Jesus Christ was resurrected again by God the Father. And so this morning, I want to give you quickly, I've already been asked, and boy, is it weird to look at the clock and see what time it is, considering we started to get a half an hour earlier. I think, man, I got all kinds of time now. No, all right. I was going to say, I've already been challenged. Are you going to be long today, Don? And I recognize it's Easter, and we want to celebrate together, but I recognize that many of you have other obligations as well to follow. But we want to at least be thorough and study this morning. So let's begin with this. What are some of the reasons why we believe in the resurrection? And in believing in the resurrection, are able to believe in Christ, who He was and what He came and did. The first reason to believe, as I put down, and you have your notes, it's the first reason why we can believe in the resurrection is because it's a biblical truth. The Bible tells us that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. You can go to the Gospels. I could have gone to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and read the narratives of Jesus being crucified, placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, and then seen on the third day, raised from the dead, appeared to Mary and to the ladies who came to anoint His body, and then as well to Peter and to John and to the men on the road to Emmaus. And so we recognize the fact that the reason why we believe in the resurrection is because we believe in the Bible, and it's a biblical truth that we see in the Scriptures. But we see the very fact of Jesus coming and His death and resurrection was not just a New Testament thing, but it's throughout the Old Testament as well. For we understand the truth that God promised in the Old Testament that a Messiah would come. He fulfilled it in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus. And He will fulfill it again with the return of Christ when Christ returns. And so we see that it's a biblical truth that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 speaks about Him by whose wounds we've been healed. It was fulfilled in the Gospels as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record the truth of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And it was proclaimed throughout the epistles, throughout the writings of Paul and James and John and Peter, that yes, Jesus Christ came and died, but that He was resurrected from the dead. And so we come this morning believing in the resurrection because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was resurrected. We understand the truth of the Bible. But many of you can say to me, and I've had it say to me, but wait a minute, what if I don't believe the Bible? What if the Bible isn't true? Now, I can have a whole other series proving you as to why the Bible is true, but we're going to avoid that for the minute, and we're going to go to the second reason why we can believe. We can believe in the resurrection this morning because it's a historical fact. Jesus died historically. It doesn't take much to believe the fact that the Bible tells us and historical records tell us that there was a man who walked on earth who was Jesus and claimed to be the Son of God. It's not just a biblical fact. There are extra biblical facts to show the fact that Jesus Christ existed as a man. So let's throw away the idea, because we're going to come to that in a moment, that Jesus was just a myth made up of by various different men. Some type of legend, some type of story that was made up. The scriptures are clear, and historically it's been proven that Jesus Christ did walk on this earth, and that he was the God-man who came to this earth. And so we see, first of all, Jesus was a man. We know that Jesus died on a cross. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us here. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, or it could be translated of utmost importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So we see it's not only a biblical fact according to the scriptures, but we see also it's a historical fact. He came and lived as a man, he died on the cross, and he was resurrected from the dead. We see that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And not only was he raised from the dead, but also he was seen. For we see that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. By the way, don't just read over that he appeared to Peter. If you remember the events prior to Jesus' death, it was Peter who denied him 3 times. Remember the story? 3 times. I don't know him. I don't know him. I'm telling you, I don't know the man. And here, Paul reminds us that when Jesus was resurrected, he places his appearance to Peter first. That he appeared to Peter. Now remember when that was first made known to me in the sense of, oh wow, I'd never thought of that before. In several messages that I heard a long time ago about the life of Peter and as well what happened words. And I remember what the man said. He says that Jesus and Peter had a meeting that was so private it wasn't even recorded in Scripture. After Jesus and Peter met after the resurrection, when Jesus was able to say, Peter. And then later, Peter, do you love me? And so we see Jesus was raised again from the dead, that he was seen by the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers, and most of them were still living. Then he appeared to James, and then the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. We'll look at that in just a moment. But let me quickly kind of go over this. If there are those people who do not believe in Jesus and do not believe in the resurrection, what do they do with the resurrection? How do they answer the fact that, well, wait a minute, if Jesus came and died and was placed in a tomb and raised from the dead, how do we explain that? What did happen? A couple of weeks ago, our Sunday school class went through this, so it was fresh in my mind. So let me just give you a couple of false ideas on the theory of the resurrection of Jesus. If he wasn't resurrected from the dead by God, what happened to him? Some people would say what's known as the swoon theory. The swoon theory simply means the fact that, yes, Jesus Christ was crucified. And on the cross, he, because of his fatigue and the loss of blood, he passed out. And they took him down off the cross, believing that he was dead, and placed him in the tomb. And after he had a couple of days to rest and to recover, and in the cold dampness of the tomb, he woke up. And he got up, rolled the stone aside, and walked out of the tomb. Now, how many of you believe that's a really good theory? I believe it takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe that God raised him from the dead. But let's go on. Secondly, there's the theory that Mary and Martha and the women who came to the tomb at the time of Jesus' burial were so distressed. They were so upset at the death of Jesus that they came to the wrong tomb. And they found the tomb empty, believing it to be Jesus' tomb. And then they went out telling everybody that Jesus had been resurrected because they went to the wrong tomb. Now let me ask you the question here, because you guys are probably a little bit smarter than the PhD guys who came up with these ideas. How do you solve that one? What do? You just go to the right tomb then. And show them the body. But you know what? The wrong tomb was the right tomb, and there was no body. Let me give you another one. Some of them believe that what's happened was that the body was actually stolen. That's recorded in Matthew. That the disciples came back and stole the body. And they hid it away. But I'll get to this a little bit later on. The disciples were all willing to die over the fact that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Now, it's one thing to try to produce some type of, try to sneak it away. You know, how many of you kids, when you're kids, you know, you come home early from school and you get off the bus and maybe you have a bowl of ice cream or you have some cookies and you know you're not supposed to, because moms, what'll happen? It'll ruin your supper. You all know that, right? But how many of you have been able to do that, wash the dishes, put them away, and get away with it because mom never knew you did it? Yeah, I mean, let's face it, folks. If we can't pull it over on mom, how do the disciples pull it over on anybody else that they stole the body and hid it someplace? Fourthly, there's what's known as the hallucination theory. This is the idea that Mary and the mother Mary and Mary Magdalene and the Martha and the other ones that were followers of Jesus and the disciples were so distressed over the death of Jesus that they hallucinated that he was resurrected from the dead. Now, psychologists will tell us that that was a possibility, but the impossibility is the fact that 12 men and 500 people would all hallucinate the same thing. For one person to hallucinate it is possible. For 12 to 500 people to hallucinate it is highly improbable. And so there is the idea that it was not hallucination. Other scholars, and I tell you this because it's Easter time, maybe they're all over, but you know, the National Geographic or the PBS programs, things like that will all run their religious things now that talk about the possibility of Jesus being resurrected. Folks, I want us to realize that it's more than just a possibility or a probability. It is a fact. It's a truth that Jesus is resurrected. But another one I have here is the conspiracy theory. That Jesus started a conspiracy that will tell everybody that I was resurrected from the dead. So after I've died, after I've been placed in my tomb, I want you to go tell everybody that I was raised from the dead. And the disciples started a conspiracy theory. Now, how many of you think there's a few conspiracy theories out there? You know, like maybe Elvis is still alive, or John F. Kennedy was actually killed by the FBI, or, you know, all these different... Folks, conspiracy theories can be a dime a dozen today. But we recognize that Jesus was not just a conspiracy theory, but that Jesus was resurrected. And then the last one they put down here is a legend theory. The problem with a legend theory is that a legend takes many hundreds of years to develop. And the resurrection of Jesus was believed right away, and as well was written about, and was as well believed by the disciples. Right away. There's not enough time for the legend to be risen. And so we recognize this morning that our belief in the resurrection of Jesus is not just a biblical truth, it is a historical fact. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And we can believe that historical fact is true. not just because we believe it, but because it is true. It did happen. So like I say, when people ask me, well, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? I say, well, of course, don't you? History is on our side, even apart from the Bible. Now, thirdly, I want to make the point. The third reason why we can believe is because it's a pivotal point. I want you to know that it was a pivotal point in history. All of history changed course with the death of Jesus. Everything is different now because of the death of Jesus. The entire Western culture developed as a result of the death and resurrection of Jesus. The entire development and growth of the church came about because of the resurrection of Jesus. And so we can believe it because history not only proves that it was a fact that it happened, but the course of history changed as a result of the resurrection of Jesus' life. It was a pivotal point for the disciples. It changed the life of the disciples. For it's one thing for a person to maybe believe in a lie. It's another thing for a person to die for a lie or out of deception. For all the disciples went to their death believing Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. All of them believed and had their life transformed in James and transformed and changed. James, the brother of Jesus himself, didn't believe Jesus beforehand. And after the resurrection, became one of the founders of the early church. James, the brother of Jesus. And so they changed. It was a pivotal point for the disciples. It was a pivotal point for history. I've already made that point. It changed the course of history. But thirdly, it's a pivotal point in the lives that it has changed. For you see, if you are here this morning and you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know the eternal life which only He gives, your life has been changed throughout history. And each of us share the fact that it has been a pivotal point in our lives when our lives were changed. Because of Jesus Christ and what He's done. Now let me go on to number four. It's a personal faith. And I want to pick up at verse 9. For I'm the least of all the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. This is the Apostle Paul sharing his own testimony. That he was one who at one time would go out and seek to destroy those who followed the way. But then the Apostle Paul's life was transformed and changed. And look at verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. So we see that it's a personal faith. It's a first personal faith in the death of Jesus, that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, so our sins could be forgiven by God. That we could have a clean slate. That we could have our sins forgiven. By faith in Jesus. That it's not just our forgiveness of our sins that are essential, but as well that Jesus was raised from the dead. Paul said it in verse 2. Otherwise you have believed in vain. This is what you've received. This is what you've taken your stand on. This is what you believed in. And verse 11, and this is what you have believed. So the Apostle Paul continues to teach us in the personal faith that we can have in the resurrection of Jesus' life and in the new life which Jesus gives and as well in Jesus' coming. Let me close it up because my time is about gone. Number 5. We can believe in the resurrection of Jesus because it's a biblical truth. It's a historical fact. It's a pivotal point in history. It's a personal faith that we share. But lastly, and more importantly, it's the eternal life that he gives us. For Paul continues on, if it's preached that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection? For if there is no resurrection, then even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and our faith is in vain. But we celebrate this morning the reality and the truth that Christ has been resurrected from the dead, that he is alive. And we serve not a God who died, but we serve a God who died and now has been resurrected from that dead. And he now is alive. And he's come to give new life to all of us. As Jesus himself was given a new life, if you continue on in chapter 15, you'll read about the rest of it, that Christ himself as the first fruits has received the new life that has been given to him by God. But it's not just a new life that he gives us, but a new body. I know that many of us look forward to the eternal life that we will share with God together in heaven because he will give to us a new body. How many of you are ready to get rid of this old body? How many of you are looking forward to that new body that God's going to give you? The six-pack abs, right? But God's going to give us a new, imperishable, eternal, everlasting body that will share no pain, no tears, no sorrow because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ we can share together. And the fact that God gives to us not only a new spiritual life, but a new body and a new heaven. For you see, we know that someday he's going to return. And the passage in 1 Corinthians goes on to say that it'll be in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable and the mortal with immortal. And when the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, and then will come true what is said, death has been swallowed up in victory and we will enter into eternal life in a new heaven and a new earth with a new body. Amen? And we all can look forward to that reality. All who have placed faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior and received his forgiveness can look forward to that. And that's why the Apostle Paul ends it with, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. Jesus Christ has been resurrected. He is alive. Let nothing else move you. Let no other arguments, let no other circumstances, let no other situations in which you face in your life that would cause you to doubt. Let nothing move you from the faith that you stand firm on, and always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that it's not in vain. For we have reasons to believe. And no matter what this world throws at us, and no matter what this world says, we know the resurrection of our Lord Jesus was a biblical truth. We know it's based on historical fact. We know that it changed the course of history, the development of the church and where the church is today. I'm not saying the church hasn't got a little bit off track and needs to come back now and then. But the course of the history of the church has been based upon the truth of the resurrection. And we know the personal faith that we have placed in Jesus Christ. And we look forward to the eternal life that he will give us. Amen. He is alive. Okay, Christ is risen. There we go. Christ is risen. Christ has risen. Christ has risen. Amen.